But I want to talk to you about curses. There are possibly two different, there's two different avenues of curses. I could take the second one and spend a lot more time on it, but I'm not. Maybe I'll come back and teach it sometime on a Wednesday or something like that. But I want you to understand that there are two types of curses that could be operating in your life that need to be renounced verbally by you so, because they're affecting you. A lot of times curses, there's this type thing, like it's like a residue that's on you. And the Lord wants to cleanse you and clean you from that. Now, don't let me freak anybody out. We've got all kinds of different backgrounds here. When I say curses, don't let yourself get into, don't imagine the exorcist and head spinning around and vomit going everywhere. But please hear me as I teach you today. What I'm getting ready to teach you is real. And see, sometimes we watch The Exorcist and we just stay so far away from any kind of teaching that's a little spooky, and we're bound. So we're not talking head spinning, vomiting here. But listen today. There are two different types of curses that could be operating in your life. The scripture says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So we find out then that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning, and I felt strongly the Holy Spirit sharing with me that there are people in this room who have experienced this and don't realize it. I want to talk to you about word curses. How does a curse come on you? Well, a curse comes on you through someone's words. Even if you're practicing voodoo or witchcraft, how does the curse come? Someone uses their tongue to pronounce something on you, a curse. So a curse is something that's released from the tongue of someone else that begins to impact your life. Now, there are people in this room this morning that things have been spoken over you. And they're in your memory, but you're not really realizing they're affecting your life. You're not really realizing the impact of those words, and you need to break those curses that were spoken over you in your life. So, they're words spoken against another with intent to harm. And here's what you have to understand. Parents, please listen to me. Your words activate the spirit realm. I'm looking at some people in this room that your life went a direction and you got into all kinds of things that you don't even know how you got there. Let me tell you what could have possibly happened. Something was said, and see, when you release words, the spirit world responds to words. Both angels and demons respond to words. So if I begin to pronounce things over you, the spirit world is attracted to what I said over you, and that which I've spoken over you begins to pursue you. No. Thank you for saying that one. You might not think we know it when you sit around your table and talk bad about us, but we know it. Because we can feel it. Your tongue releases demonic forces against your leaders. You can't sit around your table and talk about how you like this and don't like that. Please hear that. Word curses are real. We're being impacted by that. Now, we might not always know where it's coming from, but your mouth is impacting us. So you're affecting our life, whether you know it or whether you don't. You're affecting the life of your child, whether you know it or whether you don't. Because the spirit world is attracted to words. So the words you release attract both angels and demons. So what sometimes happens is the parents or whoever in your life releases a word curse over your life, and now the enemy comes in with an open opportunity. Do you believe in prophecy? You really do. Well, do you think it only works in a positive aspect? It doesn't. If I spend my life telling you you'll never amount to anything, guess what's going to happen? It's a word curse. That's a prophecy spoken over your life. God wants you to renounce those things spoken over you this morning so you can be set free, because there's some people I'm looking at that your family has told you certain things for years. You'll never amount to anything. You got to renounce that, because you're still living in the results of that. Oh, don't let me get ahead of myself. I got to move. So the spirit realm is responds to words. They're bound or loose through words. Now I want to show you two things. These word curses, they can be deliberate or non-deliberate. Deliberate word curses, this is where we're dealing with place. They're placed by those working in the occult. They know what they're doing. They're using demons to invoke harm on the victim. So there is a real witchcraft that's going on. That's why the best thing you can do is not join them. Be sure you don't join them. It's likely that the enemy's heard about Father's House. And it's likely that there are real witchcraft folks deliberately hurling, binding curses, make their family sick, dry up their money. Well, then that's why we need you never to come in agreement with that. Because if we're getting it from people we know and the ones who legitimately want to kill us because they're involved in witchcraft, it's not too fun. So you need to rise up and be defenders and realize there is a deliberate, there's a strong spirit of witchcraft in this area. Wherever there are mountains and trees, there are witches. And they don't much care for us. Deliberate. Then there's non-deliberate. Non-deliberate are words spoken against another person that are contrary to God's plan and purpose for that person. Now let's look at deliberate. I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I do want you to understand it's real. It's as real as rain again. People who are involved in witchcraft actually will use an object or a piece of clothing belonging to a person to place a curse on them, on you. You better have your eyes open. That's why it's good to have spiritual discernment in church. We've had witches come in here and stand right there and sing like angels. And we said, shh, shut up. Well, it is a real thing that they maybe come up and pick up something that belongs to you. And then they take it at home and they start decreeing and declaring over you. I'm trying to tell you there's decreeing and declaring going on, and it ain't all coming from us. And it affects us. We need to break that. Some people use, I ain't even going here. I could go here a long time, but I'm not going to. People's flesh, their nails, their hair, their blood. Any contact that they can get with a person to speak over them. A photograph. If nothing else, I didn't intend to do this here, but y'all need to be praying. You think the devil's just going to get in a fetal position because of what God wants to do here? If you haven't figured out that he wants to do something mighty here, you're living under a rock. If you can't begin to sense it now, but you're not the only ones that will sense that. You have to understand that. So we've got to begin to pray and cover this house because of that. But the Bible says a curse without a cause will not come. So the closer that we live with the Lord, the more safety we have against that. However, the enemy also studies us, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. And he knows the place he can get in a lot of times in our life. I don't have time to teach all that. Go back. I did a deliverance class for 2 months. Someone in the ministry develops strange symptoms for no apparent reason. Wasn't a thing wrong with them. And all of a sudden, major issues. Sometimes that's pronounced curse. You need to break any curses that are deliberately spoken over you from your life. Then you got non-deliberate. And I'm convinced in this room this morning that God wants to free you and make your life never the same from today, because non-deliberate curses were spoken over some of you in this room. Hold on. Absolutely. Non-deliberate curses. So, here's what happens then. If things are repetitively spoken over you, you internalize them. And now you believe them. And once you believe them, you make decisions based on them. So if I tell you you're ugly long enough, doesn't matter how beautiful you are, but if I told you your whole life you're ugly, at some point you internalize that and you begin to take on the identity of being ugly. So you settle for a 2 instead of the 10 you could have had, like me. But anyway. The thing is, are you hearing me? There are people in this room that Granny told you all your life something. And whether you know it or not, that's developed a place on the inside of you where you came to that identity. Man, I hear you, Lord. Do you know the religious spirit has done this? I've never said this. I've thought about this right here, but the religious spirit's great for that. You can't do that in church. You can't sing like that in church. You can't dance like that in church. And guess what? Over time, you believe that. So you started doing it in the world, but you were never intended to do it in the world. That's a lie. Rip it out. I feel Jesus on about right now. We done went from teaching to prophesying. There are people in this room that the religious spirit told you stuff. Well, you can't do the work of the ministry in pants. You can't cut your hair. You can't wear makeup. And it built something on the inside of you. An identity came that made you think you had to perform a certain way for His anointing to flow in your life. So you walked in guilt and condemnation, and it was Granny who did it by telling you that you had to have a long skirt. But Granny's tongue was as long as her skirt. God wants to set you free this morning from mess, and a lot of it came from church. Word curses in the church. Oh man, that's good. So that's not even on the notes. You need to break out of that mess. You need to get out of here today and go find you the best pair of pants you can buy and visit the church you used to go to and wear them in and say, God has set me free. And if you're involved in music and dance and they told you you couldn't do it, get your life right. Give yourself 100% to Jesus. We'll share the video of you doing it so you can share it for them. Because God put that in you. But religion pronounces a word curse. And God created your gift in you. But they told you you couldn't use it in the church. Man, oh man. We give you permission to use it here. Make your commitment 100% to Jesus Christ. Sell out to Him. We don't care what kind of sound you got, what kind of movement you got. We'll let you do it as long as you make it holy. Oh, I got to move. Parents, so what happens is you take on that identity and you act as if the thought is true. And then it affects your decisions. So you choose Bubba when you could have got a rich millionaire. Because the identity's wrong on the inside of you, but it was because of what was pronounced to you. Are you hearing me? Some of you need to wake up. I hear you, Lord. You settle for a blue-collar job making $10 an hour when inside your very heart is a business making millions of dollars. But they said you couldn't do it here. They said the economy was bad here. What words spoken over your life are you acting out? Word curse. needs to be renounced. And I'm praying that as I teach, it begins to come back to you, things that people have spoken over you. It's not me. If you're beginning to remember things that people said over you, that's the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to go back and say, out your mouth, I renounce what they said over me. It's not true. If it's coming to your mind right now, renounce it. So it sometimes comes through parents. Some that just come to mind. You are useless. You'll never be any good. Oh my God. You are just like your mother. You are just like your father. That's a word curse. And it starts about the time you start being a toddler and you start to walk. And somebody's mad. You're just like your mama. What you have just done is prophesied that the hang-ups of the mother and the spirits that the mother's influenced by, you've just pronounced and prophesied and released it into their life. Stop it. Are you hearing me? It's quiet again. That's a good sign. Big boys don't cry. This word curse right here has destroyed more marriages than any other thing. Because we think as men we're supposed to be tough all the time, and we show no emotion and we show no tears and we show no weakness. I got news for you. I'm going to break you out today. It takes much more of a man to cry than it ever does to keep from crying. That's a curse. That's a word curse. God wants to fill some men with the Holy Spirit. He wants to set them on fire. But you pray for them. They're like, I want everything in them to keep from releasing what God has for them. Because after all, I want everything in me wants to cry. But I'm not going to cry. I'm a man. I'm not going to cry. I don't know what's going on the inside of me, but something's shaking me. Something's stirring me. And I want to go, but I'm going to. The word curse has blocked the ability for the Holy Spirit to operate in your life. Because when you become before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you have no choice but to cry and weep at His presence. Come on with that. Some men in this room need to get free. You're ugly. You'll never get married. Nobody will ever marry you. Still affecting your life. You'll never change. Well, that's just the way it is when you're a Boone. That's just the way it is when you're a Bradford. All Bradfords will do this. All Bradfords have tempers. Well, it don't come. Well, I won't say that. I got it on both sides of my family. I'm a Hatfield. What are Hatfields known for? Shooting and killing people. Well, all us Hatfields, we just have tempers. All redheaded people have tempers. Word curse. And if you are a parent in here and you have done it, renounce it. And if you are a person in here who someone did it to you, renounce it. Oh God. Husbands, why can't you cook like my mother? You ain't ever gonna get no good fried chicken talking like that, sir. You're pathetic. Word curses. Demonic spirits, and then you wonder why your spouse is in such a shape. You prophesied it on them. Wives, I wish I'd married a real man. Congregation to minister. What are you saying about your leaders? It's not going on. It's affecting them. What you're saying about your leaders is affecting them. And they don't know maybe what you're saying, but warfare increases in their life. Warfare increases in our life when you get on your mouth. You better understand that. Minister to congregation. employer to employee. Now, please hear this. You need, some people in this room need to break these. Self-cursing and inner vows. I know the Holy Spirit is bringing this. Please don't miss it. Some of you in this room have cursed yourself with your tongue. Curses come through tongue. And the Lord wants to show you that this morning and set you free. I'll never forgive myself for. You just made a prophetic decree over your life. And if you're not going to forgive you, you need not expect Him to forgive you. I'm ugly. I'm useless. Fill in the blank. What are you saying about you? It's not okay for you to talk bad about you. You're creating something in the Spirit when you talk about you. You should get up every morning and do... You should get up every morning and do positive self-talk. What are you saying over you? Are you saying anything over you? You're missing the boat. If you want your life to go to another direction, start declaring over yourself and talk to yourself and speak over yourself every day of your life. I was a selling machine. You know why I was a selling machine? I couldn't teach people this. Because it didn't matter what the results were. I was walking around saying, Brooke knows where I'm going. You know when Brooke played volleyball, what I taught her to do? Act like Muhammad Ali. You can't do what you're called to do. You can't function in this life unless you get out. I'm the greatest. I'm a bad man. I'm pretty. What do you think he was doing? He was pumping himself up on the inside. You will believe the prophecy that you speak over your life. So I'd walk around all day decreeing and declaring. I'm a selling machine. Ain't nobody can tell me no. I will have the best day I've ever had in my life. Door slams in your face, don't matter. Don't have time to think about it because I've learned how to decree and declare over myself. Yes, yes. What are you saying about you? My Lord, if I could just train the people in here this morning to wake up every day and start declaring over. Declaring what you don't want or what you want. What are you doing? Or are you declaring nothing? I dare you for the first 10 minutes of your day when you get up. I got all kinds of stuff I can give you. Go get the little red prayer book. You can get it on your phone now. Find those scriptures and begin to decree and declare them over your life. Wake up in the morning and say, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. Everything I touch prospers. Don't you feel better just hearing it now? You've got to say it over yourself. Should have quit or should have gone on? Nobody loves me. I'll never speak to them again. I won't let anyone get close to me again. I want to die. I'm better off dead. Somebody in this room said that. You better renounce it. Could it be that your sickness right now you're dealing with? I'm telling you that the enemy spirits are attracted to your words. You're either going to attract demons or angels. If you'll get up out of your bed every morning and begin to speak the word of God over you, you'll attract angels. Which are you doing? Which have you allowed people to do? If people have spoken these things over you, verbally disconnect from them and renounce them and say the opposite. Yeah. If somebody's told you you're ugly, wake up every morning and say, I'm pretty. Yeah. I don't care what they say, I'm beautiful. Put you a sticker on your mirror when you go into the bathroom and says, you are beautiful. Whatever you got to do. Start speaking the opposite. Don't just renounce that they spoke it. Now you start speaking the opposite. Got to move. Can I move? I got 15 minutes. Now we got word curses that you have to deal with if you want to be free. Then you got generational curses. They're real. Isaiah 53:5 says this, and I could teach on this for a long time, but I'm not going to. But it says in Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So we find here transgressions and iniquities. We find two things that he dealt with. Transgressions, that's sin. That's missing the mark. That's rebellion against God. Trespasses. So he dealt with that. But then we find this thing called iniquities. So he didn't only deal with transgression or sins or acts. It says he was bruised for iniquity. Iniquity is the punishment for the sin. So he not only dealt with the sin, he dealt with the punishment of the sin. However, you have to understand the way iniquity works. All over the scripture, I could have gave you more. I'm going to read three real quick if you don't believe this is true. Exodus 20, verse 4 and 5. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or earth beneath, in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on to the third and fourth generation. Numbers 14:18, the Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. Deuteronomy 5:9, you shall not worship them. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. So you have to understand that people that you didn't even know what they did made you susceptible to what they lived in. You have to understand that you don't just inherit blue eyes or blonde hair. If you can inherit the things that are physical, you can also inherit and have spiritual things passed down to you. And you have to deal with that. So sin, if not properly renounced and repented for, the iniquity can be passed down to you. Sin is the cause, iniquity is the effect, and can be passed on to generations. So you didn't do anything, but you're being affected by it. I'm going to show you how. Now let me give you an example. An 18-year-old girl came for prayer, having just been told she had less than 1 month to live because of a viral condition affecting both kidneys. She had already been prayed for with no results. The deliverance minister heard the Lord tell him to ask about her mother. Turns out she was adopted. Her mother had been unmarried and offered her for adoption when she was born. She had no idea who her real parents were. Recognizing the parents had been in sexual sin, the minister led her in a prayer to forgive her parents and thank God for her life. The minister then broke the curse and took authority over the spirit that had come at conception and ordered it to leave. She felt something immediately and she began to cough. 20 minutes later, she bent down and touched her toes, which she could not do before. The doctors re-examined her and found nothing wrong. Did she do anything? No. She was walking under the weight of what somebody else did that opened up an avenue into her life. I'm trying to get you to close those things this morning. So the demonic power in the child was given access through the sin of the parents. So just as you can inherit physical features of parents and family, you can also inherit spiritual tendencies. Now here's what iniquity means. Iniquity means bent, crooked. There is a natural, when you come out of the womb, because of these generational things, you have a natural bent toward something that's operating in that family. Tendency. The word bent means a natural inclination, a leaning toward, a tendency. Now, who have you seen in your neighborhood? Who did you grow up with in school? Everybody in that family was alcoholic. Everybody in that family got divorced. Adultery. Everybody committed adultery. Folks, that's a curse. And it's iniquity. And what's happening is, iniquity means that you are born with a natural tendency to migrate towards something. Man, I'd like to pray over kids right now. A natural tendency. All already functioning within your very heart and your DNA. So then the following generations have a tendency and leaning toward repeating the issues of previous generations, which is in essence a curse. I'm not going to read this. You go read it. Matthew 8:28. When Jesus casted the demons out, he was getting ready to cast the demons out, and where did they ask him? What did they want? Let us go into the pigs. Let us go somewhere. Well, then that tells us when someone gets freed from demons, the demon is looking for somewhere to go. So, when people in your family die, the demons in them are looking for somewhere to go, and the most likely easy place is someone in that bloodline. It is a familial spirit. It's been in that family for generations. When somebody dies in my family, and for doggone sure if they die when I'm around and I'm there, I immediately pray no spirit that's on this person can come into my life or my family's life, because it's going to be searching. And some of you in this room are doing what daddy did and granddaddy did, and it's just being passed down onto you because it's looking for somewhere to go, and you happen to be where it rested because you didn't know this. And when it comes to iniquity, you recognize patterns. Patterns is what? The word patterns goes along with iniquity. Where is the pattern that you can see in your family's life? Everybody got divorced. Everybody stayed in poverty. Everybody had an anger issue. Where is it? The Lord's speaking right now. That's iniquity. You can break that. You had a natural tendency toward anger, toward lust. It was in your family. So I want you to begin to examine your family's life, and I want you to see patterns. Because wherever there's a pattern, there's something needs to be renounced. There are people in this room right now that your children are struggling with things, and this is the issue. Grandpa did this. Grandpa had this. Oh, I hear you, Lord. I see them all the time. Gives me great pleasure to dismiss them from the house or ignore them or something. For generations, all they did to sit around and badmouth church. Yeah, that's right. And you inherited. You inherited a critical spirit toward church people. You've been trained and equipped to speak ill of your pastor all the time. You've been trained and equipped to talk about his shortcomings generationally. Hello. Where's the pattern for you? Your assignment this week is to look for the pattern, because it's there. And I promise you, just like I promised you everything else, all it takes is one prayer out your mouth to close the door to it, and it's gone, and something shifts on the inside of you, and you don't even know what happened. Look for patterns. Now let me show you this in action. What was David's sin? Adultery. David committed adultery. He had a lust issue. Right? Adultery and murder. He had a lust issue, though, that's for sure. A lust issue so strong he would murder to fulfill the lust. Well, it just so happens that Matthew 1:5-6 tells us what his bloodline was. It says, Salmon was the, Matthew 1:5 was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, whom he committed adultery with. Now did you just catch something? Who's Rahab? What was Rahab? A harlot. What was David's issue? Lust. Perversion. He's a direct descendant in the bloodline, third and fourth generation from a harlot. So that spirit is operating in his line, in his family, which makes him susceptible to that. What is it for you? Where are you acting like your ancestors? And sometimes we're so nutty that we're even proud of it. cuss somebody out, get angry, and just be thrilled about it. No, it's a curse. It's a familial spirit being passed to you. Rebellion is, and you gotta understand this. If you're from West Virginia, particularly the southern part, rebellion's in your bones. Nobody has to invite you to rebel. You just rebel because it's fun. You fight because it's fun. Get enjoyment, sheer pleasure out of beating people. And fussing and cussing and live a whole lifestyle of it. Let me at them. Let me get them. I'm going to get them. Proud of it. Oh, I hear you, Jesus. Some of you, the anger keeps operating in your life because you pronounce the curse over yourself. You said, nobody messes with me. I won't let nobody walk on me. Then you're not a Christian. There's something going on in your life because you've made a declaration over yourself that you won't do some things that Christianity requires you to do. So you can just stay in the kitty end of the pool while some of us go into the deep end and allow Him to deal with the issues in our heart and renounce these things. Good Father's Day message. I wasn't going to do that, but I'm going to do that, Lord. So David was a descendant of Rahab. David's son Solomon, what was his issue? Hundreds of wives and concubines, which led to his downfall. Generational. Patterns reveal curses. David's son, other son, raped his own sister. Harlot, adultery, wives and concubines, raping sister. What is going on here? Third and fourth generation. God wants you free in 2017. He built an altar. And this is something you need to heave up on it. The patterns in your family. Because they're lying at your doorstep, and if they skip you, they're after your kids. God wants to purify your bloodline. God wants to purify the people in this house. He wants you to break the generational curse. What is it that keeps getting repeated in your family's bloodline? Deal with that. Get it out. Noah. Here's one for you. Noah, his son Ham, saw his nakedness. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but that don't mean he just saw him naked. When you go into the Hebrew, it implies he lusted after him in a homosexual way. That's what it means. All these years in Sunday school, we thought, well, he saw his dad. Who ain't ever seen their daddy naked, for God's sake? If you're a guy. Probably if you're a girl, too. No, there's more to it. The Hebrew language implies that he looked at him in a lustful way. So what happened to that now? Noah cursed him. Canaan fathered 11 nations. And guess what one of the nations was that came from this? Sodom and Gomorrah. Did you hear what I said? Sodom and Gomorrah was the manifestation of a curse being passed down through that bloodline that was opened up right here when he lusted after Noah. What's going on in your world? What's affecting your life right now? What's affecting your money right now? That was passed down to you. So I want you to recognize if this is operating in your life, any repetition of symptoms or problems in the next generation seen in previous ones can indicate this is what's going on, particularly if you can mark it. I mean, I got people where I grew up, I can say their name, and there's one thing synonymous with them: alcohol. Bums in the eyes of the world. By last name only, you can figure it. If you found a good one in the bunch, it would be breaking the mold. What's going on? No, it's passed on. What's being passed on to you that's keeping you from destiny? I feel the Holy Spirit in here. Some of you trying to move on into destiny with Him, but something's holding you back. You inherited some things that are standing in your way. Ooh, Lord, I ain't going there. I'll say that another day. Do you really want me to say that, Lord? I'll just leave it on the shelf. But any kind of pattern that you see, it can be physical, emotional, physiological, psychiatric, alcohol, adultery, premature death. Wake up! If you see somebody dying prematurely, you see a pattern of that in your life, you need to renounce that. Now I want to show you something that's a different take, and I'm almost finished, that the Lord showed me. And I was reading one day, and I've heard this all my life. And if you're a deliverance minister and you want to rebuke devils, you want to cast out devils, what is the scripture that you go to and you refer to? Well, it's Matthew 12:29. How can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. So in every circle I've ever been in, that's been spoken to a deliverance minister, telling the deliverance minister that he has to bind the strong man operating in the person. Right? This is casting out demons. You've got to bind the strong man working in that person. Can I tell you, there's a much bigger revelation there? You better hear me today. What the Lord began to show me about this is, it says, how can anyone enter the strong man's house unless he first binds the strong man? So this completely reverse of what we've been taught here. This means if the enemy wants to plunder a man's house, he'll first get to the man. Because if he gets to the man, it opens up everything in his house. If he gets you, sir, he's got your kids. If you're struggling with lust, he's got your kids, because he's got the strong man bound, and if he binds the strong man, he can plunder everything in the house. Wow. So then what's going on in my world? I've opened the door. The Lord really rocked me with this. He told me, hey, sir, what you let in your house is going to your kids. And you let it in because the strong man has to be bound for the plundering to come. I feel Jesus saying, repent right now for some of us. When you look at that son or daughter and they act like you, see, you got to bind the strong man. And then you can plunder his house. And when you look at generational stuff being passed on, that's what happened. Strong man got bound. And now demons are flooding through his generational line. Are you hearing me? Jesus is in here speaking to some of you. If he gets the head bound, the door is open to the family. So your great-great-great-dan, you better hear me, this is probably prophecy. Your great-great-great-granddaddy murdered someone and you've struggled with anger. You got a murderous rage spirit on you. It's in your bloodline, sir. Somewhere it's there. So it's important for you to recognize patterns and deal with them. And I'm not going to do much about this right now. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Maybe we'll do a JIC. How do you deal with this? You got to identify it. I'm telling you, if you want to walk in freedom and you want to break free, go back and look. What's the pattern in your family? What do you do that daddy did? What do you do that granddaddy did? What issue, what vice do you struggle with that they struggled with? You got to identify it. You got to repent. Now, you got to repent for you, but you need to do identification or repentance. You need to ask the Lord, you need to ask for forgiveness for your great-granddaddy's mistake if you want to be free. Because it breaks the legal right. Demons function in legal right. They have a legal right to continue to operate in that family until somebody deals with it. I feel the Holy Spirit, I feel people getting revelation right now. You can spend the rest of 2017 in absolute heaven if you'll listen to me. Repent on behalf of, you know you got somebody in your family that murdered somebody. Repent and close the door to that spirit of rage and anger and murder. Whatever it is. Is there adultery in your bloodline? Did granddaddy take another man's wife? Then your daddy did, and now you're standing to waiting to inherit it. Before you get married, you better deal with this. So you got to identify it, you got to repent, you got to renounce it, and you got to resist it. So I don't know how we're going to get there, but I want you to stand up. Now, you may have identified things in your life as I was speaking. I will try to post all these so as the Lord brings them to you, you can deal with them. But as I was speaking, so I'm going to give you the opportunity, if something has come to you right now that you can deal with, I want you to deal with it now. Anybody in the room when I was speaking recognize that word curses have been pronounced over you, or you've done it over yourself? That's a bunch of people. That's a bunch of people. And so you fill in the blank here. We'll give you time to fill it in. Because you've got to verbally say, I renounce it when I said, or I renounce it when they said, and say what they said. Got to renounce that. So say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every word I have spoken, or that has ever been spoken over me or about me by, you say who to yourself? Could be yourself, but the Lord could have showed you where your parents or somebody else has done it. School teachers. I hear school teachers. School teacher told somebody in here you'd never be able to do something. So say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I went too fast. I'm going to be quiet a minute. Say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every word I have spoken or that was spoken over me or about me by these people mentioned. I say in the name of Jesus that those words are of no effect in my life. I cancel the effect of these words upon me. I break the power of those words over my life in the name of Jesus. These words spoken over me have no power over my present or my future. I call them null and void in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command anything that is attached to these people as a result of word curses spoken over them, any spirit attached to them, I command it to loose them and let them go right now. Right now, I say, loose them in the name of Jesus Christ and let them go. From their mind, from their will, from their emotions, break them, Lord, right now. Set them free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say, over every person in here, be free. I declare over you that you are no longer operating under these words. I break the power of every word. I renounce it right now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Come on, pray this with me. Say, I renounce every false prophecy spoken over my life, in church or out. That's one I left out. You can have people prophesying over you. We don't want a bunch of people running in here prophesying over you. Prophecies are word curses. I'm telling you, some of you need to renounce people that come up and laid hands on you. We don't want people just laying hands on people and prophesying over men here. If you can't be accountable for what you're saying, don't say it. And there are people in this room who have had word curses pronounced by people operating under the Spirit. You better think about that. Holy Spirit's moving right now. Some of you are being taken back to a service right now where somebody walked up to you and said, the Lord is saying XYZ. come on. There's somebody in here who's lost, or more than one maybe, that you've lost loved ones, and the enemy came and told you it was your fault. He told you it was your fault. You need to renounce that. It's a curse pronounced over you. Pray this with me. You fill in the blank. If the Lord has shown you a particular spirit operating in your bloodline, you fill in the blank. Say, in the name of Jesus, I repent because of the sins of my ancestors that allowed the spirit of whatever you recognize. Say, I repent for my ancestors that allowed the spirit of, and you say what it is. A spirit you see operating. Anger, rage, lust, perversion, lying. Somebody's got a lying spirit. It's an inherited lying spirit. Come on, your children will be free if you'll break this. Repent on behalf of your ancestors for this spirit, allowing this spirit in. Speak the spirit. Say, in the name of Jesus, I repent because of the sins of my ancestors that allowed any of these spirits to be passed down to me through my generation. I forgive my ancestors for passing these spirits down to me. But I renounce these spirits. Now I want you to take a moment, and if you heard something specifically, say, I renounce, and call the spirit. I renounce the spirit of. It's important that you say that out your mouth. I renounce the spirit of blank that was passed to me from my generations, from the ancestor. Come on, I'll tell you, I feel freedom moving right now. If you'll say out your mouth, I renounce the spirit of whatever it is that came from my ancestors, you're going to change this week. You're going to change right now. I feel something happening more than at any other moment I've been teaching these things. Say it specifically. I renounce the spirit of lust that came from my generations and came through my ancestors. I renounce the spirit of anger that came through my ancestors. I renounce the spirit of perversion that came through my ancestors. There's a lot of hidden sexual molestation and incest in our generations. Come on. I'm going to have everybody pray that. Say, I renounce any spirit of perversion or incest that came into my bloodline as a result of incest and perversion in my bloodline. Come on, say, I renounce the spirit of poverty passed on to me from my ancestors. There's a generational passing on of church hurt. Your parents were always in a whirlwind of church trouble, and they passed it on to you, and you expect it. You need to renounce that right now. Say, I renounce the spirit of rebellion. I renounce the spirit of confusion that came through my ancestors for their rebellion against authority. I repent on behalf of my ancestors for not honoring authority. I repent on behalf of my ancestors for speaking against authority, for speaking against men and women of God. And I break the results of that from my life in Jesus' name. Come on, there's some young ladies and women in here. If you need to go, go. I try to get done by one. It's only 10 after, so. But there's some young ladies in here that your mom has gone through divorce and had trouble with men, and she's prophesied it over your life that the same thing's going to happen to you. You need to renounce that. I'm telling you. She's already set you up for the fact that you can't find a good man. Say, I will not, in Jesus' name, I will not, it says everybody, say, in Jesus' name, I will not make the mistakes of my mother and father. I sever myself right now from any pattern, from my mother, from my father, from my grandparents. So, Lord, I thank you right now in this room in Jesus' name. I declare your freedom. Right now, I say, Lord, that it stops right here. Any generational spirit, Lord, that's functioning in the lives of these people. Rejection, generational rejection. Be free right now from generational rejection. Come on, it's been operating in your family. Come on, somebody's got a spirit of rejection because your family lived in poverty and you were frowned on and you were looked down on and you have not gotten healed from that. I command rejection attached to poverty to leave you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't receive His blessing because you're striving. Right now, Lord, let anything to do with poverty be released from this atmosphere. Shame. Come on, in the bloodline there's been molestation and things like that, and you've operated in the shame. They didn't. You better hear me. I'm prophesying to you right now. There are people that you live in shame, but it was because of what was going on that you couldn't see in the generation. So, Lord, we command all shame to leave this place right now. Be set free from shame, low self-esteem that's operated through the window of molestation and sexual perversion. We break spirits that cause insecurity and spirit of fear. Loose these people from the spirit of fear, Lord, that come through the bloodline. Fear of authority. Right now, I renounce fear of authority in this room. I break its hold. Be free right now from fear of authority. Somebody in this room has a strong fear that one of your loved ones is going to die. You have a fear of premature death of a loved one. I renounce that. I command it to go. Be free right now from the fear of losing loved ones. In Jesus' name, I command it to leave your life right now. Come on, there's some older women in here that you got ties to your mother. There's spirits operating in you through your mother. Spirits of manipulation and witchcraft. Your mother operated in witchcraft. She tried to control. She dominated the man in her life, and you have the tendency to do the same thing. I break that spirit right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Right now, from every woman in this place, the dominating, controlling spirit of witchcraft, I renounce any place, any people in this room, some of you in this room, your mother used her sexuality to manipulate people. I break that off of your life. You will not suffer from a spirit of perversion in Jesus' name. I break that. I say, go from this place in Jesus' name. Set them free, Lord. Whew. Hallelujah. Come on. Learning disabilities. Come on. I break the spirit of rejection coming from learning disabilities right now. I say in the name of Jesus, any spirit operating in the lives of these people due to pronounced learning disabilities, set them free right now in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus.